You know, I believe that everybody needs a group of people that they can say, these are my people. We all need some my people in our lives. My wife, Brittany, she used to work for a company, and every year they would have this big Christmas dinner, and it was always at a really nice restaurant. It was kind of formal, and she would make me dress up every year. And I typically don't dress up. I don't wear a tie very often. Only if somebody's getting married or buried. That's kind of my policy on ties. But every year she would make me get dressed up, and I'd put a tie on, and we would go to this dinner, sit around this table with a group of people we didn't know very well. And it was kind of awkward and tense. You know, they would bring out appetizers, and everybody would actually like use the little plates for the appetizers. You know, they'd scoop just a little bit on there, and everyone's using their knives and forks. And the whole time I'm just completely uncomfortable, you know, and what would happen is at the end, there would always be some food left there, you know, and the waiters and the waitress would end up coming and taking it out. And I would think, there is no way in the world if I was with my people that we would ever let anybody take any extra food. That just doesn't happen when you're with my people. But when I wasn't around my people, it was kind of awkward and uncomfortable. And then you contrast that with our staff Christmas party. We keep it really classy with our staff Christmas party. We usually go to Mi Casita and get all you can eat salsa and cheese sauce, but that's my people. Those are the people that I like to be around. And I would say we could probably divide everyone in this room into two different groups, and you can identify with a group of people. There's one group of us here that an ideal vacation for you is to go and sit on the beach in a chair, maybe a book, but just not move all day. That's like the greatest day ever for you. And then the other group of people are those like me. After about like 15 or 20 minutes, your skin starts crawling and you got to go find something to do, right? How many of y'all are just sit on the beach all day people? How many of y'all after like 15 or 20 minutes, your skin, these are my people right here. We need a vacation together. My wife and I have disagreement about this all the time. Here's another way I think that this room can be divided. There are some people in this room that were grown, that were raised in a family that thought they were a little bit better than everyone else. Maybe you had a silver spoon in your mouth. You think you're a little bit better, a little bit of an elitist. And usually that surfaces in, those people typically don't like White Castle, right? That's just how that comes out in people's lives. And then the other part of us, the other group, are those that are real Americans that can appreciate this morsel from heaven that God has given us. So how many of you all think White Castle's disgusting? Where's all the elitists at? Go ahead and be proud of that. Where are my people at? Where's the real Americans that can appreciate a good White Castle hamburger, right? We all need people in our lives that we would say, these are my people. We're in this series called Marks, and what we're doing is we're talking about the marks of a mature follower of Christ. And the way we got here in this series is our staff had a conversation several months ago, and the question was, well, how do we know if we're hitting the mark? What are we aiming at? What's the goal of all this? We get together every weekend. We have large gatherings together. There's small groups that are going on. There's all these different activities. But how do we know if it's working? What's the point of all of it? And we came to the conclusion, well, the point is life change. The point is growing and maturing and becoming the version of ourselves that God created us to be. And so we came up with six things that we felt like are the marks of a mature follower of Christ. A couple weeks ago, we kicked off and said, hey, the first mark is we got to be like Christ in our character, in the way we treat people. Last week, we talked about that a mature follower of Christ is growing through spiritual habits. They've added some discipline to their lives. And today we're going to talk about the idea that every mature follower of Christ is connected with other believers. That's just how God created us. Anybody that I would say is a mature follower of Christ, somebody that I want to be like, all of them can identify people in their lives that say, I'm connected with him, and because of that relationship, I am more and more like Christ. Because we all need people in our lives, people who will encourage us, people who will pray with us, support us, push us, call us out on our stuff. We all need people. That's just how God designed us. I mean, if you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, when God created the world and he put Adam in the garden, and in this world there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no sin. God looked down and he saw Adam by himself, and he came to the conclusion, this isn't a good idea. In fact, this is how he said it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God looked down and saw Adam, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God looked down at the beginning of time and said, it's just not good for humanity to be by themselves. They're just better when they're together. Now, if you go all the way to the very end of the Bible, when all things are made right again, John gets this glimpse of what heaven is like, where there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no sin. And this is what John said heaven looked like when God gave him this glimpse of it in Revelation 7, verse 9. He says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. John said, hey, when I saw heaven, it was people together in community, worshiping together. That's just how God created us. We all need people in our lives who would say, hey, these are my people. And I'll just say, I'm glad that the people in this room, I could say, you all are my people. This is my church. I'm so honored that I get to serve you all and lead this church. This is the place that I get to go on a journey with, because I believe God is going to write a great story with our lives and with this church. And I was reminded how grateful I am that I get to be a part of leading this church. Just a few weeks ago, when I was eating with another pastor, a pastor I didn't know very well, and we were just talking about life and ministry. And as he started talking about ministry, he really just started complaining about his church and his people. And he was telling me about how, you know, most of the people in his church, they're so busy and it's hard to get anybody to volunteer or give their time back. And none of them have much money and they don't want to give. And it's tough to get people to be generous. And he was talking about how they're always complaining and griping. And he's kind of coming to the end of his griping and complaining session. And I knew what he wanted me to do. Like, the logical thing is for me to say, yeah, me too. I know it's so bad. I know my people are just like that. But the truth is, I felt bad because I didn't have anything to say, because that's not who we are. I mean, this group of people, you get it. You give your time. You give generously. You want to make this community a better place. And I felt bad because I didn't have anything to complain about, because this group of people, my people, they're not complainers. That's just not the culture of our church. Except one thing. Communion cups, all right? We've heard you, okay? That's the only thing that people ever complain about is communion cups. Get over it. Quit writing it on the connection card. We've heard you loud and clear. They're going to be there every week, whether you like it or not. It's the body and the blood of Christ, so just get over it, right? No more complaining about that. But the truth is, that's just not our culture. That's not who we are. You know, what I love about my people is that when I stand on stage and say, okay, guys, it's time to sacrifice, it's time to give, people step up and do that. Just a few weeks ago, we announced that we're getting in that season where we're getting ready to start our Feed My Starving Children campaign. In just a few weeks, we're going to be packing hundreds of thousands of meals for starving kids around the world. In fact, this year, we're going to go over the million meal mark, and that's a thing that we're going to celebrate, we're excited about. But I love that I could stand here and say, okay, guys, time to sacrifice. We need every family to give. And you know what? Every family sacrificed. Every single family gives, because that's what my people do. They sacrifice, they give. I love that my people get what our purpose is, that we're all about changing our community. And I love going out in our community and seeing people from our church that are coaching sports teams, and they're involved in volunteering at nonprofits. They're involved in the schools. They're trying to make our community a better place to live, because that's our mission. That's what God has asked each one of us to do. In fact, this week I had a conversation with someone who was trying to get a mentoring program started here in our community for students who are at risk. And we were just having some dialogue. And I was so glad that I got to say to them, hey, listen, if you get this organized, if it's well ran, I'm confident that I can stand in front of our church and say, okay, guys, we got to step up and do this. These are our schools. These are our kids. This is what we have to do to make our community a better place. And I said, I can guarantee you our church will respond. That's who we are. And I'm glad that I get to be a part of leading this group of people, my people. And listen, if you're visiting today and you're looking for a church family, you walked into a great place, because this room is full of just good people that you can connect with and go through life with. I'm glad that you're my people. And we all need this environment, this large group where we all get together and we're a part of going in the same direction together. But I'll say this, outside of this environment, there's also some smaller circles that we need to be a part of. And I think this is probably modeled best through the life of Christ. We see that Jesus always had a lot of people around him, but then he would break away and he had some smaller circles that he invested his time and his life in. Let's see what it says about the large group that followed Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 2. And it says, "And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick." It's one of the things that we know about Jesus' ministry. Everywhere he went, there was always a large crowd of people that were following around him. And there were times that Jesus would stop and he would communicate to the large crowd of people and they would see him perform miracles. They would see incredible things happen. And we believe that we all need to be a part of one of those larger groups. We said a few weeks ago that really there's three environments that we're fully invested in and we want you to be committed to. And the first one was celebrating here on Sunday mornings together. And we think this should just be a part of the rhythm of our weeks, that we make this a priority to get ourselves and our family here on Sunday morning, because it's in this environment that we're encouraged, we're challenged, we get to worship with other people. But it's also a really safe environment that we can invite our friends and our family members who are far away from God, people who are outside of church, to come here with us where they can meet a God who loves them. We need this large environment in our lives. And Jesus went around, there was a large crowd of people with him, but there were times that he would break away and he had identified 12 guys that he wanted to invest his life in. This is what it says about these 12 and how this would work. It says, "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way, he took the 12 aside." So there's this large group of people always following Jesus, but there were these moments where he would break away in a smaller circle and he would invest his life in these 12 guys. And the second environment that we're really passionate about here at Grace is connecting with others in small groups. Now, I know a lot of you are already connected in a small group, but there's still a lot of us who haven't found a smaller circle of people to get connected with. And if that's who you are today, that can change, because today is an opportunity for you to sign up in a small group. Right after the service, if you go out of the auditorium and down the hallway to our new connections area that we opened this morning, there's an opportunity to sign up for a small group. There's men's groups and women's groups and couples groups. There's different topics. We want you to get connected, because we believe that it's in that environment, when you're around a smaller group of people, that God starts writing a story in your life. God starts changing and making you more like the person that he wants you to be. But it's interesting. Jesus has this large group. Then there's this smaller group of 12 or so that he spent time with. And then at times he would break away even to a smaller group, with three other guys. Listen to how it identifies these three men in Luke chapter 9, verse 28. It says, "And he took Peter and John and James with him, and they went up on the mountainside to pray." So large group, smaller group of 12. But then there's these three guys that he would even share more intimate things with them. He invested in even in a deeper way. And I would say in all of our lives, we need a group of people we call my people. This is our church. This is our church community. But inside of that, there's a smaller group of people that we're intentionally connected with and we're going through life with each other. But then we all ought to be able to identify two or three people in our lives that we could say, but they know everything about me. They know my struggles. They know my fears, my temptations. When I fail, I know that I can call them and they'll be there for me. God created us to live in community. What I would say is, most of the people in this room, you're probably committed to this environment. Some of us, the majority of us, maybe you're committed to a small group environment, a smaller circle. But less of us could probably identify people in our lives to say, listen, I've invested in this relationship enough and I've been vulnerable and exposed to who I am, and we're living in accountability with each other. And what I would say is, everybody that I know that is a mature follower of Christ can identify those people and say, these are my people. You know, here at Grace, we say we want to help ordinary lives become extraordinary stories. You know, the truth is, every extraordinary story, every story that we love, always has a cast of characters. There's always a group of people that make that story special, and the same is true in all of our lives. God wants to do something incredible in your life, but you're going to need a cast of characters. You're going to need some smaller circles in your life in order to become the version of yourself that God wants you to be. So I want to tell you three reasons why I think no one should be on this journey alone, that everyone ought to be able to identify these smaller circles in your life. The first reason no one should ever be on this journey alone is because alone, you're more likely to quit. But together, You'll make it to the finish line. Listen to what the Bible says about the power of numbers and having people in our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them fall down, one can help them up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help them. The Bible says, doesn't it make sense that when you're going on this journey of life, there's going to be moments that you fall down. And that's when you need to be connected with some other people because they'll pick you up and make sure that you make it to the finish line. And there's going to be moments in your life, there's going to be people around you, people you're connected to, and they're going to stumble and they're going to fall. And it's your responsibility to get down in the ditch with them and pick them up and say, we're going to make it to the finish line together. We're better when we're together. You know, I really enjoy working out. I have for most of my life. But I look back through my adult life, I see that I tend to start stuff and then just stop after a while. I've gotten interested in running in the past and trained for a marathon, even ran a couple marathons, and then I would go 2 years and never run again. Like I just would kind of lose interest. And I've joined multiple gyms. I've bought P90X at least twice that I can think of. You know, like I'm good at starting. The problem is after a while, I lose interest and I quit. But for about the last year and a half, I found this consistency because I have two guys that I meet every single morning. They're waiting on me. They're counting on me being there. And none of us ever miss. And it's strange, just having a little accountability, having somebody to go on this journey with, how much more faithful I am, how much harder I'll push myself. And the same is true in life. Like we're just better. We're more likely to finish when we have some people in our lives. I'm just telling you, alone, it's likely that you'll quit. You'll quit on your marriage. You'll quit on your family. You'll quit on your commitments. You'll quit in your walk with God. We're just not good by ourselves. That's not how we were created to live. We need people in our lives who will pick us up and push us forward. Here's the second reason I think no one should ever go on this journey alone is because by ourselves, our perspective is flawed. But together, we just see a better picture of reality. You know, we're all better when we have more voices in our life, people that can point out stuff to us, give us a different angle of the reality that we see, because by ourselves, we just don't see a clear picture. We need more voices in the conversation. The Bible says that if you're a wise person, you invite that into your life. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. It says, instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. So the Bible says, hey, a wise person invites instruction, invites perspective, because they understand they have a limited perspective on what reality really is. And there are moments in our lives that we need somebody to say to us, you can't act like that. You can't treat people like that. That's not a good decision. You're better than that because we don't see the full picture without a community of people that will add perspective to our lives. You know, a few weeks ago, I met with my friend Lindsay Crawford. Lindsay's one of my favorite people here at Grace. I'm not saying that because she's sitting in the room right now. That's just the truth. She's one of our best volunteers. She's been nothing but good to me and this church and my family. And we were having some dialogue about her perspective on some ministries that she's involved in. And we're just talking about what was going on at the church. And at the end of the conversation, I said to Lindsay, I hope you know that I'm approachable. If you ever have anything you want to bring to me, feel like you can bring it to me. You feel like I'm approachable, don't you? And she said, do you want me to be honest? And I said, yeah, be honest with me. And she said, not always. And I said, okay, well, tell me about that. And Lindsay spoke into my life and added some perspective that I didn't have. Very loving, very respectful. She said, well, you know, if you do this more often, sometimes when you say this, you act this way, it makes people feel like you don't want to talk to them. And it was in a loving way. And at the end, I said, thank you. Thank you, because a wise person invites instruction, invites perspective. And at the end of that conversation, I was better because of it. We need perspective. We need people in our lives to say, no, you're actually not good at that. You need help in that area. We all need some perspective in our lives because there's moments we need somebody to tell us, hey, it's not that bad. You're making a big deal about this, and it's not a big deal. You're not the only person in life with problems, okay? Just open your eyes. Look around. Everyone's tired of listening to you complain about that. Like, that's why we need friends in our lives, because by ourselves, our problems become big problems. We get so focused on them, and we need perspective. That's only added when there's more voices in our lives. There's some moments we need perspective when we're ready to throw in the towel and quit, and we need somebody to come beside us and say, you're not quitting. You're not giving up. We're going to make it to the finish line together. You know, the third reason I think we can't go on this journey alone is because alone, we're just a target for the devil. But together, there's safety. Earlier this year when I was in Uganda, we got to go on a safari, and we're driving through the grasslands, and we'd look over and we'd see thousands of antelope together. And it was odd, as they were grazing, they would all be facing in the same direction. They would take a bite and they would all look in the same direction. So I asked our guide, like, why is that? Why are they all looking the same direction? He said, well, they're always looking where the predator is. They know where the lions are. They know the direction they're coming from, and they all work together. They stay together. They listen together. They respond together. Their protection is in numbers. Then we were driving along a few hours later, and we see this antelope off by itself. And our guide said, uh-oh, lunch for the lions, right? That antelope has no chance by itself. There's no protection. There's no one around them to work together. And I think the same is true in our lives. Like when we're by ourselves, we're open prey. The devil just has a heyday in our lives. We're open to depression and discouragement and temptation. But we're just better when there's a group of people and we go through this journey together. I'm so thankful for my people. I'm thankful that there's people in my life who actually call me out on my stuff and tell me when I'm wrong and point out areas of my character that I'm just not able to see for some reason. I'm thankful for my people. I'm thankful that I have people in my life that when I've been discouraged, they've encouraged me. I'm thankful this week I had someone in our church sent me an email and said, hey, Andrew, I just want you to know, leading up to Easter, I've committed to more prayer and fasting. Praying for you every day. It's my people. People that are praying for me and looking out for me. I'm so thankful God has brought those people into my life. I'm thankful that there's been moments in life that I was ready to give up and I was so discouraged and overwhelmed. My people were there for me. I remember the day when we found out that our son Trust would never speak or see or walk. He'd spent his entire life in a wheelchair. So discouraged. Driving home that day, and when I got to my house, my people beat me there. My family, my friends, they were waiting for me. Said, hey, you're not going to do this alone. We're going to do this together. We all need people in our lives. If you're not connected right now, if you couldn't identify, like that small group of people, you'd say, hey, we're going on this journey together, and maybe even some smaller circles in your life, I want to encourage you, get connected. You have an opportunity today. You're going to have to take some steps. You're going to have to be intentional. If you're waiting for someone to knock on your door and say, hey, let's be friends, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to be intentional and invest in relationships. Don't leave today not connected. You can walk out of the auditorium today, right down in our connection space, and get signed up for a small group and start finding some people that you can go through life with, because we're better when we do it together. And I want to write a great story with you all. I want God to write a great story in your life, but we've got to have people that we can do this journey together, okay? Hey, if you will, do me a favor. Easter's coming up, and I got something I need everyone to do. In the chair in front of you should be this card. And I know we're on our third service, so some of them have been picked through. If there's not one in front of you, find one in a chair near you, pass those out. We want to make sure everybody has one of these cards. In a few weeks on Easter, we're planning on doing something really special, but it requires a lot of stories. And so we would like for everyone to fill one of these out. You can just write your name, your phone number, your email. And then we want you to fill in the blank here. I can't believe. What's the thing in your life that you'd say, I still can't believe that God did this for me? Like when I look back through my journey with Him, I can't believe that God put our marriage back together. I can't believe God rescued me out of this addiction. I can't believe God did this in my family or did this for my kids. I can't believe God healed me of this. What's that thing you would say? I still can't believe God did this for me. What I want to do is just provide a moment right here for everyone. If you would take a moment and fill it out, there should be a pen. This card should be right there in front of you. I'm going to give you about a minute to do that. Now, I recognize that some of you all are processors, and it takes you a little while, and the thought of 1 minute writing down a few sentences that summarize your story could be overwhelming. So there's an email provided there, my story at gracechristian.tv. But for those of us that just already know what that is, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and fill that out. I'm going to give you a minute, and then we're going to put those in the offering bucket in just a moment. So take a moment to be filling those out for me.